Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on,
fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. A 50 motherfucker and I love.
Hello, everybody. We got, hello, Stacy, is that you?
Yes, sir, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Not bad.
How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Everything's good. And a little, awesome. Something I want to talk about, somewhere where I was the other day, and there was a group of guys, and I went to go talk to one guy in particular in the center, and it was, hangarounds, prospects, members, and the guy I needed to talk to. And I made it to the third line before anybody realized I was inside the circle. And the guy put his hand on me, and he kind of wound up on his back.
Go figure.
I grabbed his arm and twisted his wrist and flipped him at the same time, and you could have heard a pin drop. I thought I was gonna get rat packed, but somebody turned around and asked what happened. Well, the guy turned around and asked what happened, and the guy told him, well, he just walked through the circle. And he said, well, you guys know who that guy is. And he said, well, what did he do? He said he put his hand on him. He said, I told you guys before, never put your hand on anybody you don't know, because that's why.
Absolutely.
That's what happens. Don't underestimate anybody.
Nope. Not nowadays, anyways. You know, I mean, you're a man of the earth, man of the world. You also have experience in other things. You've got a worldly descent, you know. And that's with anybody. It could be with an 86-year-old woman walking down the street that could be a Taekwondo expert. Who knows? You know,
exactly.
But that's the truth. You don't put your hands on nobody. You approach with caution and then try to indulge in a normal conversation. And then if all else fails, well, you know, it is what it is.
All else fails, keep your fucking hands to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Funny.
So,
and then,
what's...
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Well, I was talking to Bill, and he's got a few things going on, and he might be here Thursday, he might not. He's been running late, and the reason he was last week, he had to take his mom to the doctor, and it was her birthday the weekend before, and everybody was there, and she's going to have a surgery on her eyes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she's 85, and she wanted to postpone it just so she could see everybody in case whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. Well, we wish Bill and his family well. As always, you know, we miss him when he ain't here, but we know, you know, family's an obligation, and, you know, your family is your lifeline, whether it be by blood or by friends, whatever, you know, there are things in your life that you have to prioritize, and, you know, it's totally understandable.
Absolutely. So what's going on in your neck of the woods besides the heat?
Oh, my God. The heat factor is... it's doing its toll on us over here. We've been hitting the high 90s, but supposedly, I guess, tomorrow we got some type of rain coming in or something, and we're going to get a cold front coming in from, I believe, the north. So that works for me. I'd rather take it down to 80 than be up in the 90s feeling like we got a heat index of 105, you know?
Well, you know, it was 8 and sunny with a slight breeze off the ocean. There was a lot of people on the beach. Some guys were surfing. I took the coast. I rode home on the coast. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you guys get all that humidity we get over here on the East Coast?
Sometimes.
Wow.
I don't
mind it when it's hot. When it's hot, you can stand yourself, but when it's humid and you can't stand yourself because everything around you is sticking to you, yeah, I don't like those type of days. But,
no.
You know, I deem where I live extremely lucky. We haven't had, you know, we usually don't get tornadoes. The hurricanes usually break down before they get here. And we don't really have a big thing with forest fires and stuff like that. So this little area of the woods is okay except for the humidity, and I'll take the humidity before anything else.
Yeah, so we got Art's in the chat room. We got a few guests, and Fran's in there. Fran just joined us.
Hello, so, Silent Art, and hello, Fran.
Yeah. Well, hold on 1 second. Hello, we got a caller from 616. Are you there? Or you just want to listen? Hello?
Okay,
I think they just want to listen.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they can listen, and then, you know, if they feel the need to chime in on something, you know, they're more than welcome to. So, what's the first topic for tonight?
Well, the first topic, I'm going to go into something real quick, but Francis, she has to laugh when Sonny was at New York Mike's, he and his ring of friends, for some reason, they never stopped me from getting coffee. They never stopped me when I go there either, for anything.
Wow, you guys are special, that's why.
No, and then when I was with some other people, and I told one person, and he's like, wow, and who was up there? And there was there was four guys from a real heavy hitter club. And then the other guys, the other club, were on the other side. And I happened to walk back on the other side, and I was with my friend, and he asked me to take this other person back. So after I had my little fiasco, I walked back that way, and then I got the stare down.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because it's kind of funny, because, you know, the shirt I had, it says, when in doubt, knock them out.
Oh, well, you know, you're stating a factor there. You're almost like wearing the sign that says, beware of dog, you know? It's like, if a person's wearing something that says that, you might want to, you know, heed the warning and approach with caution.
Yeah.
Hey, Art had a real cool link on his Facebook page about the convention, I guess, that's going to take place, that people are going to boycott because of not being able to wear.
It's not a convention. It's a calendar show. What it
calendar
is, just motorcycles, motorcycles vendors, and everybody's boycotting that guy because of the no colors policy.
Right, right. And that's the show we've been discussing over the past couple of weeks, and it sounds like a good group of people are going to get together and have some breakfast and, you know, state their opinions,
yeah,
you know, civilly and morally and with value and honor. And, you know, as citizens of the United States, we do have the right to do that. And with luck, you know, the cause will go over well, and there won't be no BS involved, and, you know, a point will be made.
And that's the thing, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and everybody does their shit, and there's some issues going on with if we're going to be able, because depending on the numbers, you know, that city really had no idea how to issue a permit or anything for that.
Right.
You know, they're going to do is they're going to put 6 or 7 or 10 guys on overtime and have them stand around, and if they think something isn't to their liking, you know, here we go with the selective enforcement bullshit, and then they just say fine or disperse, you know.
Mm-mm-mm. The thing is that it's the whole event is misleading, as we've stated before. They're stating, you know, family orientation, this, that, and the other, but yet the underlining links to this company is to pornographic sites. And, you know, I don't have nothing against that industry at all. But when you gear it towards quote-unquote family events, and there are hidden things in the agenda that I believe, you know, everybody should know about.
That picture I sent you, you know, I kind of chuckled when you said, where's the goatee and the long hair?
Exactly, man. See, the thing is that, you know, I mean, not to gear off of what we're talking about, but I've never been one for all that hoopla. It's like, give me a guy with a little beer gut, maybe 6 foot tall, some long hair, goatee. You know, I'm good. I don't need all that hoopla. You know, anything that's down to earth and, you know, completely natural, that's what I go for. Although I do have a couple of friends that really like that picture.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess it's all within, you know, your taste.
Yeah. Let me, I'm getting tapped on from the outside here. Let me do this real quick and I'll be right back.
Awesome.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true and point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do, something that didn't even have anything to do with you, when deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth that the ones who claimed to be your friends were never, ever really down with you till the end, but now you know just what is true, the bullshit and the lies you can see right through. Because the truth in your eyes speaks to the deepest part of you. Because deep inside you always knew that this facade ain't nothing new. That all the jealousy, hatred, and lies, that the truth about themselves is what they really despise. They dream your fall will help them to rise. But it's only the truth they really despise. Only shame on you for acting surprised. Because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies. Ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free. Because there is no justice and there is no peace. Accused by your peers, sentenced by your fears, condemnation beyond comprehension. Because there is no justice and there is no redemption.
Okay. Are you there?
Awesome. Yeah, of course. I never get sick of hearing that, and I think I say that every time you play it.
Yeah, did you get that review I sent you for Etiquette 7?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that album drops on the 31st, and it was a pretty good review.
Awesome. I enjoyed their music to begin with. You know, I've always been a hardcore rocker, or so to say, you know, and... some of my younger folks in my family, you know, they look at me, they're like, why aren't you listening to, like, Light 105? Why aren't you? I'm like, because that's not what I'm all about. Age don't mean anything. It's what you enjoy in life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I blow their minds out with some of the stuff I come out with.
Yeah. So I got, somebody asked me about this, and I'm going to read it real quick, but it's called, this is who Title 18 protects. It's the United States Code. It protects the officers, employees, and law enforcement, explorers and stuff for the United States, and you know, it prohibits assaulting, resisting, or impeding an officers, employees, and law enforcement, explorers. I didn't know they had any power of the United States while engaging in or on account of the performance of official duties. So I guess traffic control is an official duty. And the assault or intimidation of any person who formerly served as an officer or employee of the United States on the account of performance of official duties during such person's time of service. Wow. So basically, if the cops fuck with me, I can tell them, hey, you're fucking with my service record, huh?
Huh. I wonder how that would go over.
Yeah, I know. Right after I got handcuffed.
And yeah, well, exactly.
By Title 18. foreign officials, official guests, and internationally protected persons. But side, it's like I said before, this is a side note, but who exactly, or exactly who the hell are these internationally protected persons? So Section 112 is the protection of foreign officials, official guests, and internationally protected persons. It prohibits assaulting or causing harm to a foreign official, official guest, or internationally protected person, or any other violent attack upon that person or liberty of such person. Now, does anyone see why American citizens being listed in these statutes is being protected under Title 18? Nope. Here's the $64,000 question. Who are these Title 18 protected entities being protected from? Exactly who is the law enacted against? We have laws enacted against thieves. We have laws enacted against rapists. We have all laws enacted against thugs. We have laws enacted against murderers. So who are these laws enacted against? You know what the answer is?
Well, I've got an opinion. I'm not sure of the answer. Being that it keeps establishing foreign type of dignitaries, what I personally think is, could it possibly be people, you know, from other places that maybe might roll over on somebody else and they're brought into this country for protection when maybe the citizens of this country need protection from them?
Right. Well,
you know,
who it protects is basically it protects it, it, the answer is the American citizens.
How?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the American citizens. That's who it's protecting against. You know, when Obama made it a felony to agitate them guys while they're giving a speech or anything. So basically, you're free speech protest. In other words, if, say, Obama's out there and he has a bad day, and they tell him, well, there's 10,000 people out there, do you want the crowd close or far? And then anybody that's protesting is going to get arrested for a felony for disruption.
Right. We had talked about that prior. And again, you know, that's just breaking down our rights as a whole with loopholes, because, you know, I was under the impression that we can gather in an orderly, you know, type of state, and we can, you know, say what's on our minds, because, you know, those are our rights, our freedoms, and, you know, how can you do that? How can you tell people that they cannot state what they think and they feel? And as far as I'm concerned, is, you know, when you deal with politics, that's part of politics. If you're going to break people down to the point of you cannot say what you feel, you cannot express what's on your mind, you cannot tell your concerns, well, we might as well just be robots told to go to work, come home, sit in our house, and put the blinders on and not be aware of what's going on. And, you know, it's, again, it's a way of breaking down the amendments, the Constitution, you know, fine picking it with a with a comb or whatever that expression is, and then trying to twist it, revive it, and turn it in a way that'll benefit them versus us. And, you know, laws, legislation, et cetera, the Constitution, the amendments, back in the days when they were established, they were built to protect the citizens of this country. And nowadays, you know, you get arrested or you run into some trouble or whatever, and you start spitting out, you know, your rights, you don't have no more rights, you know. So I don't, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's like, I still can't even figure out who internationally protected people are. I thought we were all protected. I mean, that's what the Founding Fathers set up the Constitution for, right?
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, the movie The Men in Black. Maybe these protected people are like the Men in Black. You know, I mean, because it's just ridiculous. It's basically another way for the government to break down, you know, our rights. And
another way for them to...
Yeah, exactly. For them to do whatever they want, and we're, you know, left sitting with our thumbs up our ass, basically.
But I got another thing the other day about this insurance being a burden, and I was kind of wondering about that, and I was going to talk about it.
Go ahead, go for it.
But I'm trying to pull it up right now. Let's see. Oh, no, I'm going to go to this one instead. We just got, they just made it last Friday. Jerry Brown decided that he signed into law California Bill AB 1047 that outlaws motorcycle-only checkpoints. But the law states in part that other states have established motorcycle-only checkpoints to address the growing problem of increased motorcycle fatalities. B is the intent of the legislators to prohibit the establishment of motorcycle-only checkpoints in California, and that this prohibition is in no way intended to affect the establishment or conduct of other enforcement programs conducted by state or local law enforcement agencies. So basically, they're still going to do their DUI checks, and if every third one is a motorcycle, you're fucked either way. They're still going to do it. The bill amends it amends the current section of the State Vehicle Code 2814.1 that allows safety checkpoints. Roadblocks are still allowed in California if all vehicles are stopped. So the keywords there are all roadblocks are still allowed in California if all vehicles are stopped.
They might as well just, you know, just do the motorcycle checkpoints or whatever they do out there. Because, you know, even if they pulled over every third motorcycle, their first intent is going to be to profile and see what they can get out of the biker or person riding the bike or whatever it may be. They're still doing what they do best, except they're rewording, you know. That's pretty much it. And instead of pulling all the bikes over, you know, like you said, maybe every third bike, maybe every fourth bike, whatever, and they're still going to gather what type of information they want off of it.
Yeah, I went through one Sunday night, and the hammer was a dead giveaway. I got waved through.
I think you and your hammer, people have established, you know, you don't want to pull this guy over because he's going to read you the riot act.
Actually, I just do. I use Bill's favorite two words until they start fucking with me.
You shut up.
Let them talk first. Then I answer a question with a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you going? The other day it was, where are you going? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B. You're not going to tell me anything? I don't have to.
Am I
free to go? Well, no. You already know who I am. You already know everything's current. Am I free to go? And from the side at the curb, the guy's waving. Like you're really trying to get somebody's attention doing a full 360 swing? In other words, let him the fuck out of here.
No, because heaven forbids, you know, while you're answering a question with a question, another biker or maybe new to the motorcycle community, whatever, could be nearby and actually hearing you defend your rights, and therefore, you know, more and more people can establish defending your, you know, their own rights. And, you know, if they know you and they know that you know, you know, what you're entitled to, et cetera, heaven forbids anybody else should, right?
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, it's really funny that they decide to do what they want to do when they want to do it.
Exactly. That is so true.
It's a fishing expedition. You know, like Art says, they had a thing up on Ortega Highway up north of me. And I was on that the other day. I went the back way to this place. And there's a lot of twisties and stuff in there. It's a really nice ride. So, you know, No, there was one facing east and one facing west. They were about a mile and a half apart, you know?
Uh-huh.
But they pulled over 99% of the bikes and two cars, so they just pulled two cars.
Are you that's just ridiculous. See, you know, I'm amazed and blown out sometimes because I'm sitting here on the East Coast and you're over there on the West Coast, and they are just like karate chopping you guys with every chance they get. And like I said before, I've been told about, you know, checkpoints and stuff when there are biker events going on, but we don't see that as much here on this section, at least where I'm at. You know, I mean, I can't vouch for further on down the East Coast, like the Florida area or the bigger states, et cetera. But I know in this little area I'm in, it's not a big to-do, you know?
Yeah.
That was like I was blown out the other day. I'm coming up 195 East, okay? And that's a highway extension that breaks off of 95 North or South, and you have to take 195 to get through Providence, Rhode Island, and trug down this way. And I was dumbfounded because for the first time in my existence, I saw two highway patrol motorcycle bikes riding side by side coming down the highway. And I turned over to the person that was with me and I said, "That's the CHIPS patrol." I said, "Wait a minute, it's not CHIPS here in Massachusetts." I'm like, "I wonder what it's called." But I was totally dumbfounded because, you know, the city that's adjacent to the little suburban town that I reside in, they have a few motorcycle cops, but they're called the safety cops. They mostly stand outside with their little radar guns, you know, pulling people over down on the waterfront that are speeding through a pedestrian zone, people walking the boardwalk, et cetera. But you never see that. And I was just dumbfounded. I was like, "Oh, my God, what is that? And where is it going?" You know, so I don't know. Times could be changing down here, too.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Because, well, it's like I said, what happens on the East Coast is going to happen on the West Coast. You know,
uh-huh.
In New York right now, they're writing everything to generate money. Because they spend
yep.
three times what they take in. So they got to get it from somewhere.
Absolutely. That's just like they, you know, again, not to veer up the subject, but they had established a while ago here in the Massachusetts area about how they were going to regulate marijuana. And on the front page of the local paper today, they deemed that it's going to be an automatic $200 fine. It doesn't matter whether you've got a roach, a joint, a bag, or whatever. You're going to be slapped with a $200 fine. And I looked at that, and I'm like, anything to make money.
But not unless you have a Med card. And I sent you that article about they want to put it on the ballot in your state for this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know all about that. And I also know that Rhode Island is still having current problems. And, you know, they passed the medical stuff a while ago. And the thing is that they need to open up the storefronts. You know,
exactly.
And there's controversy.
I mean, I just read one thing today in here in my part of town where it's called Solana Beach, Del Mar, and Encinitas. They want to do they want storefront med centers.
Hmm.
And they're trying to get the city councils for those towns to do it, or they want them to put it on the ballot for November.
Huh.
And then I had this article. I found the article I was looking for. It's called "Motorcycle Crash Costs Are a Burden." And I want to put that on hold for a second because we got somebody right here that is dying to get in here. Hello, 708.
Hey, what's going on?
What's
hey.
Up?
Hey. Hey, sorry I'm late.
Hey, better late than never.
Yeah, I know. I took a bit.
That's all right.
Glad
to have you here.
What is the topic tonight? I know. I'm glad to. Miss you guys.
It's all good, Nora. It's all good.
Good.
Yeah, we're just jumping around from topic to topic, but I had one that where I was going to talk about. This is right next to your neck of the woods there in Indiana, Nora.
Okay.
I put the link up in the chat room, but it says Indiana's decided that the motorcycle crashes costs are a burden. So the tragic series of motorcycle fatalities in northeast Indiana this summer should cause the state's lawmakers to consider joining about 20 other states that require helmets. Such proposals are nearly always met with an outcry from bikers who argue they should have the individual freedom to choose, which means I want a choice. I don't like to be told what to do. I want to have a choice. So an individual freedom to choose whether they wear helmets. The problem with that argument is many of the costs of motorcycle injuries and fatalities are incurred by the people other than the riders. According, and this is bullshit, because right now, the next three sentences I'm going to read, when you hear the year this was done, you'll start laughing. According to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, nearly half of all the motorcyclists lack adequate insurance, and taxpayers foot most of the health care bills when those without adequate insurance are injured. In fact, in 1991, now it's 2012, why the fuck are they using? See, this is the bullshit they use. They use all these old things instead of updated stuff because California supposedly since 2009 has lower fatality in motorcycle crashes than ever before. But they keep bringing up before that and saying we had too many. And it was, to me, that was down in my neck of the woods. All the Marines were coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever, and they had money in their pocket, and they went down and they bought a fucking bike they didn't know how to ride. They started doing fucking stupid shit on the freeways, six or seven of them. They'd block traffic and start doing wheelies and shit, or you know, speeding, and don't know how to handle the bike. And I'm going to piss people off with that one, but I don't care because I'm 54 years old, and when I went to redo my test for the Navy base to get my sticker, I had to take that course.
Go
ahead.
One thing that has me concerned with that when they're saying it's costing the people money, you know, I can understand that some accidents happen, you know, sand in the road, you take the curve wrong, whatever, and the blame is on the individual. But what if the blame falls, you know, on another individual in a car? We as citizens are not allowed to put vehicles on the road that are not insured. And the fact of the matter is that within your lifetime, you know, let's say 80 years, you might get into maybe two accidents, if that, you know. You're paying insurance. You're paying hundreds of dollars per year for insurance should something bad happen. So how is that costing the people? You pay into a policy, you get back for what you're paying for should the worst possible scenario take place. How does that cost the state? I could understand if you had an uninsured motorcycle driver that possibly, let's say, crashed into a moving vehicle and there was injuries, maybe a death, whatever, and there's no insurance involved. Then, you know, okay, you could say that. But I'm going to guess that 98% of the people that are riding motorcycles, and strictly because people are so profiled when riding a bike, they're going to have their registration current, they're going to have their insurance current, and they're going to be, you know, for the most part, doing what's asked of them. And an accident is what it is. It's an accident. It is not, you know, something that people, I'm going to go out and get into an accident today, so, you know, I can make a few thousand dollars. You know, people don't walk around doing that. Well, maybe there's a few. I don't know. You know, there are some real tweaks in this world. But, you know, how can they even go with that, saying that it's costing the state dollars? That I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, what they said was, though the argument that the government should not force cyclists to wear a helmet sounds compelling, neither should taxpayers have to have for those who decide not to wear a helmet. Now, all this comes from a 1991 article. And if you look at that link, it's posted. It was posted at 2012-7-15. It was posted Sunday. So the argument that the government, let's see, pray for pay for those who decide not to wear a helmet. Indiana lawmakers don't seem likely to require helmet use anytime soon, especially in an era when Hoosiers are increasingly complaining about too much government, but there are steps legislators could take of a short mandatory law that would help improve safety, if only slightly, and help reduce the burden on taxpayers. In April, Michigan repealed its mandatory helmet law, but set conditions for riding without one. See, if they repealed it, they wouldn't have conditions.
And what conditions?
I'll tell you right now. Bikers must be at least 21 to ride without a helmet. Indiana requires helmets for only those 17 and younger. Biker must have at least 2 years of riding experience. They must pass a motorcycle safety course. This is Michigan. They must carry at least $20,000 of medical insurance. Make no mistake. Such a law in Indiana would not be nearly as effective as the mandatory helmet law. In 2000, here we go, 12 years ago, Florida replaced its mandatory helmet law with one allowing riders 21 and older who have at percent from 1997 to 1999 when helmets were required to 2001-2003 when they were optional. The number of cyclists admitted to a hospital for head injuries increased by 82%, and the average cost of treating a head injury increased by almost $10,000. So basically, now the next one, consider a mandatory helmet law such as the state had in Indiana again, from late 60s to 77. At very least, the legislature should require helmets for riders under 21 and set insurance requirements to lessen the cost taxpayers foot for motorcyclists without helmets. Again, I don't see a problem with this. If they go, because that's the way I have 300 medical insurance. Anything happens, but I'm over 21. I got 44 years of experience. I passed safety courses and I carry the insurance. So why can't I have a choice?
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. But even like, okay, what you were saying, like medical stipulations and stuff, we've got a poorer type of economy. People are carrying the basics of medical insurance because they can't afford much more. But it's still, it still shouldn't be, there should be no guidelines about that. Do they do that to people who drive a car? Because, you know, you have seatbelt laws, you have people who are not wearing their seatbelts that go through the front windshield or up through the sunroof, whatever, due to not wearing a seatbelt. But it's never deemed, you know, the state is suffering, you know, this much in insurance because of blasé splee. You know, and it's like you never see, you know, how much the state is losing off of how many DUI accidents, because a lot of DUI accidents, the driver's uninsured, you know, because a lot of people get behind the wheel that are like shit-faced drunk, you know, that's pretty much where their life is at, and they're not worrying about anybody but that next drink, you know, so they don't care. So it's like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
I can totally understand, you know, 2 years worth of driving experience, taking a couple of safety courses to better you as a rider. You know,
yeah.
That's just bettering you for skills on the road should something, you know, take place that you have to use emergency procedures, whatever. But, you know, I can't understand the rest of it.
When I got stationed in California, I came back from Japan. And I brought my motorcycle back with me. And when I got stationed here, I couldn't, at first, they weren't going to let me on the base because I didn't have a vest. And I didn't know yet. Over there, I had to wear a vest, but I didn't have it. So I parked my bike, and I went to my unit, and I got a vest, and I came back, and I got my bike. But when I walked in to get the paperwork for the class, the guy said, well, how long ago did you take the class in Okinawa? I told him, and he said, well, how long have you been riding? And I told him, and he said, then you're going to take the experience rider's course. Well, cool. It was a little shorter and less bullshit, but when I was done, I went down to the DMV, smiled, they took my picture, and I did smile. They took my picture, and I was done.
Well,
I'd like to see that picture.
I know. We still need to see that. One of these days.
Yeah.
I'm convinced you're a vampire. You just don't want to show that you're a fanger, you know? You don't want people seeing them long fangs.
I took some pictures the other day, and Bill said, you know, I know the guys you're with are facing the camera, but you're facing the other way. He said, that's probably where you're smiling.
He's probably right.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But, yeah, so what's going on, Nora? What do you think about all that?
You know, it's insurance companies. We were talking about that in the last show. You know,
well, insurance companies are.
It's
all a Ponzi scheme anyway, because the last time I had it, they told me they wanted to total my bike, and I said, no, you can't do that. And the guy said, well, I said, no, you can't do that. He said, but I know you guys take good care of your stuff, and I said, no, you can't do that. I said, dude, you have to understand, this bike is in pristine condition, and it gets used in photo shoots in national magazines, as well as California magazines. He said, well, and I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to send you 4 pictures. And he called me back and said, we're going to fix your bike.
Now that's, you know, that's a happy medium there, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody gets that lucky.
No, not everybody's a pain in the ass.
Well...
No
comment. I'm practicing my Fifth Amendment right now.
Shut up.
There you go.
That's right.
So, and then, you know, it's like anything else that we do around here. You know, like Fran just wrote it, like Fran says, I will go back 7 years, 2 sport riders, Cole cocked a cop, almost killed him, and a nurse saved his life, and that was on Ortega Highway. In France,
wow.
That's why they keep me around. But shortly after that, they started helicopter roundups. Do you know, guys know what a helicopter roundup is?
Well, we don't have them big copper birdies in the sky, but is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and what they do is...
We don't have them big copper birdies in the sky, but is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Nora, turn off your
I can't. The damn thing went stupid, so I walked away from it. Okay, sorry. Issues.
Well, what it is, I was out one time, and I went to, we were going to a wake and a funeral for a guy. And we went out south on 5, cut to 94, got on to 125, and came up over a little hill. And there was a helicopter hovering about 5 feet to stop us.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, because the 2 chippies that pulled up said they had a hard time catching up to us, so we were speeding. And we were people, about 42 people, if I remember right, and said they couldn't pull over a pack. They had to get the helicopter to do it because we would have just kept going. I'm like, really?
That's ridiculous. And, of course, every time you put one of them birds in the sky, it's coming out of the taxpayers', you know, pocket by the boatload, you know. And that's just ridiculous because if they could have had the 2 chippy things, okay, and, you know, a squad car waiting up ahead, crossing, you know, blocking off the road to get you guys, but they bring in the helicopter. That's insane. That's just, you know, let's just take more money out of the taxpayers and we'll continue to go broke for doing stupid shit like that.
Let me see if this person wants to talk yet. Hello, 661. Did you want to just listen? Hello.
It's SWAT.
Huh?
It is SWAT.
How are you?
I am good. I was driving back from Northridge back up to Lancaster because I had to go pick up the megaphone.
So you want to give everybody was asking questions about that. You want to give everybody an update?
Yeah, I wanted to. I didn't want to do it while I was driving, though, but I could listen, but I couldn't really talk, you know? So
is this the lady that put the link on Art's wall?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the latest. So on this Sunday at 8:30 a.m., we are keeping with the unity theme that the East LA Bikers and Reckless Riders, you know how they're doing that unity ride that day? We had talked about it. We're going to go ahead and do a unity breakfast prior to the protest, inviting everybody to come out to Denny's in Woodland Hills right off of Burbank and Topanga. And, you know, I went and had a discussion with the manager. She's like, I don't have a problem. She has no problems people wearing their vests and their patches and all. She's like, you're just people on motorcycles. You guys have always been good. So she has no issues. And we'll be staging there at the parking lot afterwards for our short ride into the protest area. So we're trying to get kickstands up. I'm going to say about between 9:45 and 10. We're probably, you know, going to be there till 10. And then, you know, right, it's only 3 miles away from the actual event. And so, but, you know, if people want to have breakfast with us, we're going to start at 8:30. We want to have our safety meeting, handing out do's and don'ts if you get pulled over. Little cheat sheets and stuff. Explain the ride and what we're getting, you know, where we're going, where we're going to park. All the logistics will get settled out right there in the staging area.
Yeah. So.
We're moving forward. I mean, it's pretty much down to the wire.
Yeah. Well.
How many people are expected?
Yeah. Well, Fran's the same. Well, what time do we need to leave here?
We're
so
here.
So I'll have to get with Bill because I know he wanted to go to that, and we'll see what time we're gonna leave.
And you guys are in San Diego, correct?
Yeah. I'm 38 miles north of San Diego, but Art's leaving at 5, Fran, and he plans to arrive around 7:30.
You know, we're heading out the night before. I mean, if anybody wants to come out the night. See, I live in Lancaster, which is about an hour and a half away from the event on a slow day. But if you guys are, you know, want to come out the night before, I mean, there's rooms. Or if you guys want to come out, you know, that morning, it's completely up to you guys. We're going to be at the Denny's. Like I said, we'll be there at 8:30. We'll hold as tight to 10 as we possibly can. I'm going to the meeting tomorrow to see, getting an idea more. As far as numbers wise, it's sounding kind of big, you know.
Fran offered to make some armbands, and she'd like to know how many you need.
Wow. You know what? Honestly, that would be more of a Bobby question, because he's more dialed in with some of the people that are out. You know, I'm running around doing like logistics end of it, and he's doing more like, you know, talking with more of the people, like networking as to who's coming out and who, you know, he knows a lot more of that than I do.
Okay, I'll get a hold of Bobby, and I'll get back to you on that one. And Art says he's about 150 miles away from the destination. Fran, I'm thinking, depending, I don't know if I can get Bill up at 5 in the morning to leave that early. He might want to leave around 9. He usually doesn't get out of bed till 9 anyway. But I'll work him. And then, go ahead.
We've put a request out. I know Bobby's asked a few people. I don't know if he's gotten any responses yet, but we're looking for someone to do an invocation, you know, something, you know, nice, you know. Did you guys get a chance to see the video that I put up about the Calabasas Inn?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I went there on Friday, and because I wanted to go, you know, talk and see if there was anybody to talk to. You know, it's kind of, you know, I would like to be able to give them the respect and say, hey, you know, what would you like for, you know, let you know what's going to happen, and we want to work with you as a facility, you know, out of respect. And there was nobody there, and I walked through, and I had to take pictures and video. The place looked so run down, and so it was horrible.
Wow.
And I was like, that's what it became. It's not the concourse, the elegance. It became the concourse, the negligence. It was so, there's like broken, you know, it was completely dirty. I feel sorry for anyone that, I don't know where they're going to park their bikes. I do want to warn people, if they do park in that parking lot, if they go in there and they be very careful, because there are so many leaves and pieces of gravel, and also those, you know, those hard berries that come out of a tree, like the shit, I don't know what those things are. But it's
I know what you're talking about.
It's all over the ground, and someone's going to lose their back tire on that. It's like almost just traveling straight on gravel, like really loose, fine gravel.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's, all the plants are dead. I mean, the grass out there is surviving somewhat, but there's a lot of bird droppings. It was really like, wow, was this not planned out? You know, because if I was bringing a custom bike into that setting, and bird starts pooping on my stuff, I'm going to be a little upset.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have a... It's not exactly the elegant thing that they had promoted it was going to be. But that's one part. Other than that, we have... City of Calabasas is not allowed smoking. However, where we're going to be staged is towards the commons area. And in the commons area, there are designated smoking areas, and we will inform our people as to where they can go and smoke.
Right. So yeah, I was at an event. I was at the Bad Ride, and they turned the Marine base, the air base, into a national park. It's one of the biggest in the United States. And there was no designated area to smoke, and you had to find a spot. So once I found the spot, people were asking, go ask him, he knows. So basically, I was sending everybody where to go.
I feel bad for whoever's going to be at the other event, going in and paying, because I don't believe that there's anywhere that they can go and smoke. I quit 2 years ago, but you know what, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
So I can definitely sympathize. But, yeah, we'll be informing all that stuff. We'll be having, you know, things printed up, point people. You know, I mean, it's like people watching out, people taking care of everybody, you know, making sure we have water so everybody stays hydrated, you know, making sure that we're taking care of everybody that comes out for this. So, and, you know, if anybody has any questions between now and then, you know, they can reach me on the Facebook page. You know, Bobby has my number. You know, I mean, anybody can get in contact with me. I'm very reachable. So, and I'm at the meeting tomorrow in Anaheim, so, you know, my understanding so far. So I'll be there, I guess, with a better understanding of the connections on that. So what's going to work with that? You can only do so much, and you know, like Bobby and I have talked about, that this is just the beginning. Like, this is just not, you know, regardless of the outcome, yes, we would love for this to have such a dramatic outcome that it changes the world. But, you know, everything is small steps.
Right. So, Fran has a question. She wants to know, how close to the gate are we, and what is the law?
Well, see, logistically speaking, we have an option. We have an option of going right in front of the property. But we're looking at the best exposure and what that's going to do for, I mean, do we want to be out more toward where, along closer to Sagebrush Cantina? There's one mouth. There's only one entrance to the venue. You know, one road to get to it.
Right.
I did videotape from the Sagebrush Cantina. You know, I was in my car, videotaped from Sagebrush, and then did the route. I sent it off to Bobby, and he has a few others looking at it, too, as far as logistics as to where's the best positioning. I know we're going to do our initial staging in front so that, you know, we can speak and talk and things like that. You know, people can gather right there. But the actual corners, as far as where we're going to set up in protest, if
we're looking at what's going to be more advantageous and what's going to be more impactful standing in front of the venue or at the corners so people that are coming in can actually, you know what I mean, is giving a more of a public view. So, and that's, again, that's going through those who are a little more in the know than me, and I just did the logistics on it, you know, just went out there and did the videos and the pictures.
Right.
And passed them off to people a little more skilled in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, and without going into too much great detail, you know, that's all those, the final details will be discussed at the staging area. I mean, regardless, you'll see, you know, it's going to be very difficult not to see where we are. So, you know, as far as the actual, either we're going to be, you know, in front of the Calabasas Inn or we're going to be at the corner. It's going to be one of the two.
Okay.
So, and we may be moving. I mean, we may be required to have to be a mobile vessel, that type of a situation, a mobile protest, because if you impede traffic, you do things like that, you know, we start building the numbers, then it's going to be a situation where special use permits would have came into a play, things along those natures. But if you're moving, there's a whole other thing involved there. You know, they can't require you to have a permit to walk up and down the street.
Right.
It changes everything. So, but, you know, there would definitely be, you know, more information passed on. And, again, if people can meet at the staging area at the Denny's, that would be wonderful. If not, you know, if people went to, we're going to be so hard to miss. If you just head to the Calabasas Inn, we're going to be impossible to miss. Because there's only one way into it, you know what I mean? There's that one road to go right into it.
Right. Can you do me a favor and email me a map?
Sure.
Okay, perfect.
I can't do it right at this second. Yeah, I can't do it right at this second. I'm sitting here.
No, when you get a chance.
Yeah, hey, I have a question. The person running this event, Do they know yet that people are planning to picket and boycott? Have you heard any, like, slack from them?
Oh, Jim is very well aware. He says he thanks us.
Yeah, because he thinks it's going to bring him a lot more people to show up and see what's going on.
Oh, boy.
You know, the thing is that we've crossed our T's, we've dotted our I's, we've had meetings with city officials, we've had everything we needed to do that in order to cover our behinds as far as permitting, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. I don't think Jim planned on it going to this degree.
No, I don't think he has either. I think he doesn't have a fucking clue what's coming his way.
I think he's probably very surprised that I went and did that video of the location and that's been released. I've also been on, you know, okay, here's something that I found really interesting is that I went last night and I started doing some blogging, researching, you know, doing some, you know, just Google searching of Los Angeles Calendar Motorcycle Show, looking up to see where he's posted. He has primarily paid for advertising this year. Putting it in people's blogs and putting it up on review sites, obviously like Speed Channel, who's one of the people that are going to be there. And when he put in, you know, the comment as far as the advertisement, as far as his little press kit thing, he paid them to close the comment. Nobody's allowed to comment. On, I would say, about 95% of his advertising or the blogs that were posted, comments have been closed, which is fine because I found it very, very interesting, and I found it very unfortunate for him because probably too late now to go fix it, you know, being, you know, the 11th hour, that he still, all the blogs and everybody still shows that it's going to be at the original location.
Right.
So everybody is already going to be ticked off enough being sent to the wrong location.
Yeah, and That's shitty on his part.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, you know, it's pretty bad that he wants to do this all in the name of the motorcycle community. And it's like, no, you're not a part of the motorcycle community. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you phrase it.
And another thing is that public notice that I put out yesterday, I don't know if anybody's had a chance to read it, in regards to the clubs that crossed the line. Wanted to state, you know, to make it very, very, very clear, let people hear my intonation, let them hear my voice, that this is not a threat of violence. Nobody's going to harass them. No one's going to strong arm them. Nobody's going to do anything to anybody. I mean, we're literally, absolutely going to do nothing. We're not going to show up to their events. We're not going to support their rides. We're not going to support anything that they do, because those clubs that have the audacity to slap the community in the face by crossing this line and going to his event are not a part of the heart and soul of the motorcycle community.
No, they're not.
Don't reach your hand out and ask for us to support you when you're not supporting what we're doing. The same thing with the vendors. Do not expect the community to open up their pocketbooks. I might see you at another event next month, and it might be an all-colors welcome, happy-go-lucky event. And I'm going to look at you and say, you must have lost your damn mind. You think I'm coming to spend a penny with you?
Yeah. Yeah, some people, you know, they just do their thing, you know?
I know, and I hate to use the term, I don't want to say blacklist, but I just, it's more like a non-supportive list. And if you can't support the community, the community does not need to support you.
No.
And that's what
those are truer words.
We have to start doing that more often. We have to start going to people and saying, you know, when I go to get parts, and I'm sorry, if K&N is at this event, and I'm, you know, when I go to my mechanic and he goes, well, what filter do you want? Right now, I'd rather have an MGO filter over a K&N, because you know what? K&N was at that event over there. I don't want that part of my bike.
Right. And that's,
we
that's,
have to get that.
Yeah. You guys have any questions for SWAT?
No. I mean, we're over here.
He always covers everything. Sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm on the East Coast. I had commented on the link she had put on Art's page, and I told her to continue to fight the good fight, because I was aware of what was going on through this radio show. But all I know is that if I lived out there with you guys, I'd be with you.
Well, be there with us in spirit. We can use a lot of good energy that day, a lot of positive thoughts, a lot of positive energy out there in the world. I believe in that. People think I'm crazy, but you know.
No, I believe in it too. So absolutely, you know, I hope that, you know, everything runs smooth and that the point is made. And, you know, it's when you have numbers, you can speak volumes, provided it's done in the right way, you know. And I think you guys will be all right.
You know, I think it's going to be all right, too. Like I said, we have camera crews that are ready to roll. We have people that are going to be inside. Well, at least one person I know of that's going to be inside the event, that's hitting up all the camera crews that are inside, going, there's about a, you know, doing a little heads up, like, see if the police were to come out front and come and give us problems. I think Steve Channel and all the other channels that are going to be there would think that was a little newsworthy, and they might just walk out of the event to go capture what's going on outside. So we do plan on having at least one person on the inside.
Nice.
There's a lady down here in San Diego, and her name is Adrienne Moore. She's on Channel 8 News, and I put a call into her yesterday. She hasn't answered me back yet, but I'll hit her up again tomorrow and see.
Oh, very cool, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, I am going to run into roller derby practice and go see if I can go speed up on people.
Okay.
Have a great night.
All right, you guys. Thank you, and we'll do a final details on Thursday.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, guys.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
So what are you two got going? What's up? Because basically, like this right here, Frances, she has 16 so far, and she's going to make more and make her own shirt, too. Cool. Stormy just joined us, and it's always a rare treat. And then Stormy says, well, the way she figures it, I'm a lucky girl, and there's no point in fussing over the bad. Focus on the good and keep on trucking. That's true, which the good is getting the word out.
Absolutely. It does,
exactly.
You know. I mean, when you're trying to do something on a larger scale, like with what's, you know, this is all about, you need to have, you know, more than just one person stating the facts, because numbers being more than one speak volumes. When you've got more than one person saying, hey, this isn't right, people begin to pay attention, you know. So with luck, it will all turn out. And it'll set, you know, a precedence that, you know, you can't tell, you can't pick and choose who comes to an event. You cannot pick and choose what they wear. And you cannot gear an event towards a certain community and expect them to not be who they are.
Right.
So,
oh, exactly. But unfortunately, you know, as well as everybody else, it takes place. You know.
Yeah, and it still burns in me, which I stated earlier, the fact that, you know, all of this, the underlying keys to this is his pornography involved. And, you know, they still state that, you know, the family orientation. So, you know, they're being very, very sneaky and very, very dishonest, and they're just trying to make a buck, you know. So, with luck, everything will prevail and things will be set straight and, you know, voices will be heard.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know. I don't think they had a clue on what's coming.
That's good because, you know, the objects of suspense sometimes is the best mechanism, you know. It's like, you know, they've got upwind of something's happening, but they're just not sure, you know, what's happening and possibly how big it could be. But it's you know, once like something like this happens and voices are heard and statements are made and, you know, people are saying, you know, no, we're not going to be told what we can and cannot do, et cetera, then, you know, it creates like a tidal wave that comes across. Like you say, what goes on in the West Coast is going to hit the East Coast. And what's happening on the East Coast will hit the West Coast. And, you know, the more and more numbers that get involved, you know, hey, you know, people are going to stand up and say, you know, we're not going to tolerate this. Do not gear an event towards a very close-knit community, which, you know, I mean, bikers are very close. You know, you can be in the same room with somebody and there can be 20 people and, you know, a biker will know another biker, you know, and it's
right.
Just, it's that thing. And you cannot go to the biker community and tell them, you know, you can come in, you can't, you can come in, you can't. Oh no, you can't wear that. Oh no, you drove in with these people. We don't want you here. You know, it doesn't
right,
work like
if,
that.
Right. But if you remember, a couple of weeks back, you were on a show with us and they were boycotting that one event for the particular reason of what could not be worn.
Right.
You know, so here you have a whole entire event that could be huge. That could be good to generate in, you know, money and other aspects. But,
and you,
And you know,
it would be nice, like, okay, she was talking about, you know, possible media coverage or newspaper coverage, whatever. It would be nice to see the media and the newspapers write something positive instead of negative, you know, that this was done, you know, legitimately. It was done with respect. It was done with class, you know, instead of the typical horror show that they write about the biker community, you know.
Right.
It would be nice to see something really, really positive come out of this. And, you know, we can hope. You know, it's a, like I think she said, what is it? It's a small mountain. How did she say that? She said something. You know, you basically gotta start somewhere, and this could be the start to a, you know, a bigger and better thing down the road.
Right.
Yeah. I just, I want to apologize. I just typed in caps and I didn't mean to.
You always type in caps. Enough said.
That's going to make my point when I say enough said.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want people to see and be heard.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I got this. This is going to be a pilot they're going to shoot. It's a reality show. And it's going to be hosted by this guy. He's a comedian. His name is Gilbert Escobar. And he's a new Harley guy, new Harley owner. And he learns how to be, and what it is it's going to be a reality show where he learns how to become a biker from Espinosa's Letter Shop family. So he'll be conducting interviews with bikers as they get their bikes washed. The cast includes Martin Resendez and Paul Renteria, that he played the Border Patrol guy in Due Date. So what they want is they're inviting everybody to filming of the pilot episode on Sunday, July 29th at 10 a.m. in Rosemead. And the only thing that I was asked was to please make a note that this will be filmed for the intention of a national broadcast. So we ask that there be no hard colors. See, they're asking. They're not telling you can't, but they're asking. So if you want to be in the show, you're going to have to make a choice for that day. You can wear your soft colors, I'm sure, but you can't wear the hard colors.
Can I ask you a question? What the hell is soft colors and hard colors?
Are they distinguishing? Soft colors is a shirt. Hard colors is a vest. Colors.
Right. Okay.
Duh.
Well, no, I thought they were trying to say something else.
No.
You know?
No.
I thought they were, like, being, you know, kind of picky as to who can show up. You know, I was thinking...
Well, no, but that's why I said at that one previous event, that's what they were doing. So
yeah.
There was a reason to boycott it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, besides the fact with certain things, you don't want to have younger children there, you know?
Right.
Even though that should be up to parents' discretion, but it's, you know... There's that fine line.
Oh, I don't know. I was at a wet T-shirt contest this weekend, and I seen it.
Oh, you're a grown man. We're talking about like a 6-year-old kid. He doesn't need to see that.
We finished. There was a bunch of young boys there getting educated.
getting educated or possibly getting in trouble when they go to school. See their friends.
But they were getting educated. But hold on one second.
Okay.
441. Did you want to talk or you want to listen?
441. Is
Hi.
That the plane?
That's Bermuda, man. Hey. Let's go.
I didn't think you knew I was on. I was
hey, it's the, okay, everybody, this is my childhood friend. She is calling you from the island of Bermuda.
Where we have
and
no friggin' bikes, but bloody well mopeds. Isn't that
it,
horrible?
The
you know what?
Wait, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter as long as you're riding. I don't care what it is.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something about me and riding. I could tell you a few stories, but... I will not get on a bike unless it's during the day because out here we have, like, bloody well tarantula-sized cockroaches that fly at night. And there's no way. Can I swear?
Yes, ma'am.
There's
no
way
this is the beauty
in motherfucking hell I am going on a fucking moped at night. You couldn't pay me enough money.
You'll
because
end up with bruises
if one flies
your
on me, that's how I'm going to die. So... That will be, if you find me in the bushes at night when I just got, you know, fucking had a bike accident, it's not because of anything else but a fucking roach.
Wait. I got intrigued now. You're in the bushes doing what?
The bushes.
Not smoking a roach. Getting a fucking roach.
Oh, my God. I am delighted that you called. You know,
well, that, you know, I was, like, listening in because I said, I don't want to fucking go on this, like, show if, you know, they're talking about Harleys. And I mean, I know about bikes, but, I mean, yeah, I can't really get into shit. But, yeah, so I was listening, and I didn't know you were there. But anyway, you could see me. But anyway, it's great. Okay. Well, you can't really see me because you wouldn't want to see me. I'm not dressed at all for the occasion.
Well, you know, next time you decide to call in and say hello, make sure you're in formal attire.
Well, I was going to I can go put on my fucking prom dress if you want. I still have it.
Hey, you know, more power to you if you want to run
around.
That's
probably all
thing.
Full of roaches, though. I'm so old, but anyways, yeah.
But Carolyn,
let me explain something.
Yes.
My partner, who's not here tonight, this is what he tells women when they're there.
Okay.
Get a glass of wine. Take off your clothes.
I don't need wine. That would be bad.
Listen,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me finish. Take off your clothes, put your feet up, or any position you want to be in, and just relax and enjoy.
Okay.
Well, I'm not gonna go too far on, you know, you possibly could find Carolyn in that, you know, type of attire any given evening.
I know. Hey, oh, that's so funny. That is so true, you know. Oh God, I'm like famous for answering the door nude all the time. Yeah.
I would like to give you a formal introduction, Carolyn.
Yes.
The male voice you're hearing is Phil.
Yes.
The other female voice you're hearing is Nora. And then
nice
of course
to meet you.
Nice to
and hear the other you. Female voice you're going to hear is Fran.
Fran, yeah. All right.
Well, good evening, everybody.
But,
hi, Fran. Fran.
Let me do this real quick. We have a comment here from Ron. He's welcoming Lance to the show. He says, this show kicks ass. Watch what you say, though, because fucking all cops are bastards, ears are everywhere. And this is the only legit show that says how it is. But basically, there's no 7-second delay. If you feel you need to swear, you're more than welcome to do it. If you want to make your point and you need to swear, you're more than welcome to do it. Basically, you can do anything you want because this is the last bastion of freedom. We're one of the few shows that is allowed to do what we're doing, even though they try and come at us from different angles here and do stupid shit. And I supposedly tonight, well, there was a couple, but I blocked them. And no, if everything goes right, we should have no interruptions tonight.
Awesome. Carolyn,
yes.
I have a question for you. Do you have a biker community on Bermuda?
I don't think they're Harleys. Honestly, just the cops down here have anything over 150 cc's. The cops on bikes, they have Harleys.
Are they the only ones allowed to drive Harleys?
We cannot. Wow. We can only drive anything with a fucking hairdryer engine. Everything else, they fucking drive. They drive with powerful, you know. So
I'm gonna enlighten the people on the show every time. Now I call her Flea. That's been her nickname.
Yeah, she calls me
Cecil too. So you know, it's just a thing, but every time she comes up to the States, one of the first things she says is she can't wait to get a rent-a-car and do 80 down the highway.
Oh, Lord.
What's the speed limit down there on the island?
25 miles an hour.
Now, do you guys have...
And we're allowed to go over 5, so we can go 30. Anything after 30, we get fined.
All right, now... question also, I don't know if you were listening in on part of the show where California does a lot of these safety checkpoints and basically inspects you for helmet and bike rot, whatever you want to, you know, it's basically a way to intimidate, you know, the biker or the person driving the motorcycle. Do you guys have checkpoints down there on Bermuda where they do these type of like...
We don't call it messing with bikers. We call it fucking with bikers.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's better.
Called selective enforcement.
They do it. They do it during the holidays.
Okay.
They do it during, like, any time they're looking for a criminal.
Okay.
Mostly they do it during the holidays or if they want to make their quota at the end of the month.
Okay.
They will, you know.
So basically, are they looking for, like, DUI?
Everything. Anything they
Everything.
Want. Yeah.
Wait a minute. They, according to law enforcement, they don't do quotas.
Oh, you think not.
Enlighten us.
Down here they do. They're seen more at the end of the month then, and we're not part of the States, we're British, but they do down here.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. You guys have got some really, I mean, I know we've talked, you know, over and over again, but, like, the enforcement division down there, they don't play. You know,
well, you know what? They, unfortunately, gosh, I could go on for hours. They're very corrupt down here.
Well, as they are everywhere,
well,
you know.
Bermuda's a beautiful place, but there's
right.
a lot of things that happen here that they do not let the public know.
Okay.
Only if it happens in the public will they report it. But if it happens behind the scenes, they will not tell you. I mean, we have private jets here. After a certain hour, our airport closes down. And we have private jets here coming here, like, after the airport closes down with no customs officials here, nothing to, you know, to check anything. And
wow.
they will, yeah, it's pretty fucking scary. And there's guns now because we do not allow, the cops don't carry guns unless
okay.
there's a special time that they have to, you know, use guns. But they're not walking around with pistols.
Right.
And there are people now that have guns, and we have these little fucking idiots, these 20-year-olds, killing each other.
Oh.
And we're starting to get a lot of gang activity. I think in the past year, we have lost about 14 people already.
Wow. On that small island.
And a small island, and it's really scary because they're fucking bold as hell.
Right.
They've done it, like, on a Good Friday, this is one, Good Friday, they had a shooting in the middle of a, Good Friday is really, really, you know, festive down here. It's a Easter holiday, and we do a lot. We have fish cakes and fly kites, and it's a big fucking deal. And these two rolled onto the field while his father was flying kites with his kids, bunch of other families around, and they shot the fucking guy right in front of his kids.
Oh, my God.
And that was one really bad occasion. The other one was just recently, probably about 3 weeks ago, they had a guy sitting in a barbershop with probably about six other people in there waiting, and two guys come in, lock the door behind them, and shoot the guy right in front of everybody. And this is like, I mean, this never happens, right? This is crazy shit. And a lot of these government officials down here are bringing the fucking shit in themselves. Same thing with drugs. They're selling
the
drugs. They're spending it. It's just pathetic.
That's the way that stuff works. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And,
I just don't
see it getting any better.
And you guys have got the race thing going on too, because segregation,
black and white down here. Oh Lord! I mean, we have
only.
People.
When did segregation take place on Bermuda?
It's always been there. I mean, what? It's what? Okay. How can I say this? It's always been here.
You can say it any way you want.
I know. I'm trying to think of.
you're trying to be morally correct.
I don't
want to
get shot in the middle of the fucking night, right? No, my fucking luck. One Bermudian fucking listener. That's the correct politician. We have flea calling. Find out who the fuck flea is. Yeah, that's my luck. So you know what
it's
I mean? Say, oh Lord, have mercy. Anyways,
diplomatically, the way that is said. Is there's always been a line, and everybody toes the line.
Yeah.
Segregation down here is a big fucking thing. We have people down here that don't give a shit about what your color is, right? We had, probably about 30 years ago, there's three movie theaters on the island, okay? Two of those movie theaters have been around forever. One was black, only and white, and the other one was white only, and that just stopped 30 years ago. So this is a very, I mean, it's like racism is very, 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 very sensitive here. It's a very sensitive subject.
And it's kind of on the flip side, too, because up here we have, you know, basically the, you know, different people acting out, you know, against the whites, or rather the whites acting out against, you know, certain people. And down there, it's the flip, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's predominantly a different, I don't know, altogether people, and the other race is the smaller of the two. So you guys have a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff with that too in play, correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, we have a government in place right now, and these motherfuckers will get on the radio, and it's all fucking black government, right?
Yeah.
They will get on the fucking radio and fucking diss white people.
Are you serious?
And will, oh, you don't fucking know. I want to go to the radio station and fucking kill all of them. Honest to God. And I mean, I honestly, I have a black boyfriend, okay?
Right.
And I work in human resources, right? And I mean, what kind of a fucking HR person would I be if, you know, I wasn't fucking open to everything?
Right.
And it's difficult for me to have fucking black people work within the fucking company and listen to these fucking cunts every day talk about fucking black. Oh, it irritates the shit out of me. And if people were allowed to carry guns, these motherfuckers would be shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. I mean, they openly, I mean, they call the black people in the white government, which is the opposing government that didn't get elected, they call the black people in that government the house niggers.
What?
Oh, yeah. They I'm telling you, these motherfuckers down here, I don't know. It's unfortunate because they soil the fucking minds of people. And
because
not every white
person.
You
want to be able to live in unity in such a small environment, you know, because Christ, you can drive around the whole island in what, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Not even that, fucking less. Like an hour and a half I can get from one point to the other. And it's,
and you
it's
were,
pathetic.
You were also saying that, you know, pretty much everybody kind of knows everybody or is, you know,
heard of what area.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a really small island. I mean, you can go to a function and see fucking 20 people, you know.
Wow.
So you really have to be careful, but it's like, it sucks because, you know, I mean, I don't teach my child color, you know, he goes
right
to school with black and white kids, but you
right
know, you have these I'm honest to God, if you could hear how these people talk, and I don't even listen to it anymore because it just irritates the shit out of me and it poisons my brain, you know, because
right
I'm thinking that every fucking black person that works for the company that I work for feels the same way.
Right.
And it's like, I try to be fair, and it, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, I don't want to get off any kind of topic that you guys are fucking running tonight.
No, but you know, something like that should be brought to light, because, you know, here in the States, we're taught that, you know, it's one big melting pot. Everybody, you know, lives with everybody, and, you know, we're supposed to dwell in an independently free environment.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, my thing is this. I've worked for, prior to this company, I worked for a really, really wealthy family down here. They own a bank. They own a fucking brewery in Bahamas. They're fucking billionaires, okay? And the father of the sons that I used to work for, this fucking guy is racist, okay?
Mm.
Now, lovely gentleman, I mean, don't get me wrong, he will treat you like the white guy. Treat you like, he's got to be about 80-something years old. He would treat you like, you know, cool, black or white. But he believes when he gets fucking home that he needs fucking servants who he's going to fucking summon with a fucking bell. That's the way he is, right? But Ace Boy's got fucking money, so hey, if he wants fucking black fucking servants, hey, that's him. But it's like not every fucking person is like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't walk around, I treat people with respect. How you treat me is how I'm going to fucking treat you.
Amen.
And that's the bottom line. I mean, you start off with fucking 100% and you work your fucking self down if that's, you know, if that's the way it fucking goes. But I mean, that is bullshit on this island, you know.
It's sad because with a small island like that, that's supposed to be like a little tropical getaway for vacationers, and
mm-hmm.
you know, the community should be more enlightened to working as a whole versus working with, you know, the whites stay with the whites and the blacks
yeah.
stay with the blacks. You know, being that you guys are getting, you know, different things imported onto the island now that have never been there. And
our
the community...
Okay, maybe I shouldn't broadcast this, but I will. My boyfriend used to work on the docks.
Yeah.
Okay? And he used to work on the docks, and he used to fix the cranes on the docks. Okay? And he used to see... And this is bad, okay? I mean, the ships come in, the container ships come in, and there's no customs officials at, like, fucking 10 o'clock at night on the docks. And the people that work on the ships, they don't get checked. So they leave the ships with all kinds of shit, and they don't come back with it.
Huh.
And it's really, really, really scary. I'm just getting on, you know, just bringing up.
No, but let me tell you something. It boils down to somebody's got to know that these things are happening, and it boils down to your government as a whole.
Yeah, no, it does.
You know?
Unfortunately, I'd be a fucking black sheep if I went on fucking Bermuda radio and said
right.
how I felt,
right.
because Bermuda is so small. And,
oh.
you know, God
let me did. Let me enlighten you here right now.
Yes.
Our audience, right now we're in Canada, Australia, New Zealand. We got our one guy from China, the United Kingdom, Slovenia, France, India, Malaysia.
And now Bermuda.
And now Bermuda.
And we got one person in Bermuda, but we got
hey.
Germany, Austria, Ukraine, France.
Cool.
India. Indonesia. Batavia, the Ukraine. And Brazil, Denmark. And the list goes on.
Jeez.
Yeah, and the dude in China, every time like he chimes in, he's taking a major risk worth of listening because they're technically not allowed to listen to this type of stuff.
Yeah.
They'll kill him if they find him.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, Bermuda's not like that. I mean, there are, if you, trust me, if you came down here as a tourist, you would have the fucking time of your life. Bermuda is a beautiful island. When it comes to how the tourists get treated, with the exception of a couple of, oh, and if you can't ride a bike, don't fucking do that, because we've had lots of tourists come in and fucking die on a bike.
Oh.
Big time. Like, off cliffs and shit and everything, real bad. We've had a lot of sad stories. But they always, the tourists are treated wonderfully. It's just, they don't get to see the behind the scenes. And it's pretty scary. I mean, Bermuda is a very sheltered place, but it's getting bad. And
wow.
it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Okay.
It is.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about the cockroaches.
Oh, my God. Don't even mention them.
Are they like the Florida palmetto bugs that you get five under a foot that will take you for a walk?
Say that again. Are they like the Florida what?
Palmetto bugs. You get five under a foot, they walk you?
Oh, my God. Hey, you know something? I had one the other night. I thought I was going to strip for all my fucking neighbors. I had one. And they only fly when they fucking mate. Okay? That's how disgusting that shit is. I'm telling you. The other night it was on my porch because I have a little dog, and I let him out. And the motherfucker, I don't know what it is. I don't know if they see heat or what. They see a body. They will come toward it. And I, like, oh, my God, that thing got so close to me. Honestly, if they ever find me dead in my apartment, it's got to be a roach. One day that motherfucker's going to kill me. I'm telling you, you don't know. You don't know what it's like. And they're not, and it's not because people are dirty or anything like that. They're not the small little American cockroaches or whatever the hell
no,
they are.
No, they're tropical.
They are like fucking pterodactyls, okay? And I'm telling you, dude, these things are gross as fucks. And if you kill him, oh, God. The smell fucking lingers. It's like sex after fucking sex. The fucking smell
Jesus.
Lingers. But sex is a good smell. But roaches, oh, Lord, the fucking creamy white feeling they fucking have. That
oh
shit
my
is
God.
Gross. Don't ever suck one up with a fucking vacuum. That's fucking it. You have to, like, kill the vacuum. Jesus
oh.
Christ, I feel like I just smoked a joint, but I didn't. And I'm not drinking anything either. I'm good. So, but yeah, not easy.
Yeah,
no,
those are
your story. You tell it anyway. It sounds good.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm good like that. But yeah, those fucking roaches, dude. Fuck that. I will never, ever get on a bike with a roach. Uh-uh.
There's the same ones as in Florida. And it's not every year, but it's every so many years, and they have that huge blossom of them. And, yeah, they fly, and they hurt. Their average length is anywhere from 3 to 4 inches.
Oh, God.
I wasn't lying when I said you get 5 of them under your foot, they walk you.
I'm sure.
Oh, God. That's gross.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure.
They're that big. Oh, yeah. I remember them well.
I don't know if you guys heard of Bagon. I think it's illegal in any other country but Britain. And I have a bottle next to my bed, and this shit will kill you. I also have it for intruders as well. And I have a bottle next to my fucking computer. You guys think I'm fucking crazy, right? Come down here and let one of those motherfuckers, like fly on you and land on you and crawl.
She's
going to
be knocking. She's going to be knocking you out with the bottle.
Oh, let me tell you, I've had them. And when you spray them, you have to like run instantaneously because that thing will fly the fuck after you. I throw bottles at them, like right after I spray them. That's Brittany, Stacy. Oh Lord, Brittany and I had a good laugh. Jeez.
You know, since Fran brought up some measurements, I just wanted to share these very few scientific facts with you guys. But number one is it takes food 7 seconds to go from your mouth to your stomach. Number two is one hair can carry the weight of 7 pounds. Number three is a man's penis is 3 times the length of his thumb.
Oh,
number
here we
four
go.
Is women blink twice as much or twice more than men. Number five is human body skin is twice the weight of your brain. Number six is women already finished reading these very scientific facts. Number seven is men are still trying to precisely measure their thumb.
Yeah. I'm gonna add one more, and this is a visual. If you close your finger and have your first finger up and your thumb out, that's an L. Okay? So that means you have one finger pointing up in the air and your thumb is out.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's a tall person.
Okay.
And he's got a pretty decent little wiener there. Now, flip it so that the thumb is up and the first finger is out. That's a short guy. And he's got a big one.
Wait a minute. I've been with a few short guys that don't measure up there.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. All right, here, I got another one for you.
See what you started?
Huh?
Yeah, see what he started?
I'll see what he started. Yeah, I know. Whenever he reads the thing about the thumbs, it gets everybody going. Look out.
Here, just to share this one, because I got this a while ago, but this one's pretty good. What it's called, the pocket-sized taser stun gun. It's a great gift for the wife. A guy purchased this for his lovely wife, pocket taser, for their anniversary, and he submitted this. But last weekend, he was at Larry's Pistol and Pawn Shop, and he saw something that sparked his interest. The occasion was their 15th wedding anniversary, and he was looking for a little something extra for his wife, Julie. What he came across was a 100,000-volt pocket-sized purse-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived, with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Good question. Way too cool. Long story short, he bought the device and he brought it home. He loaded two AAA batteries in the damn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. He was disappointed. He learned, however, that if I pushed the button and pressed it against a metal surface at the same time, he'd get the blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. This was awesome. Unfortunately, he has yet to explain to his wife what the burn spot is on the face of their microwave. So he was home alone with his new toy, thinking to himself that it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? So there he sat in his recliner, his cat Gracie looking on intently, trusting little soul. While he was reading the directions and thinking he really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target, he must admit he thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second, and then he thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat, but if he was going to give this thing to his wife to protect herself against the mugger, he wanted some assurance that it would work as well as advertised. Was he wrong? I don't think so. So there he sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with his reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of his nose. Directions in one hand, taser in the other. The directions said that a one-second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A two-second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and major loss of bodily control. And a three-second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. So all the while, he's looking at this little device measuring 5 inches long and three-quarters of an inch in circumference loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries. Pretty cute, really, and thinking to himself, no possible way. But what happened next is almost beyond description, but I'll try to do my best. He's sitting there alone, Gracie looking out with her head cocked to one side as if to say, don't do it, stupid, reasoning that a one-second burst from such a tiny old thing couldn't hurt all that bad. So he decided to give himself a one-second burst just for the heck of it. He touched the prongs to his naked thigh, pushed the button, and holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction? What the fuck? I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran through the side door, picked me up in the recliner, then body slammed both of us on the carpet, over and over again. He vaguely recalled waking up on one side in a fetal position with tears in his eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with his left arm tucked under his body in the oddest position, and tingling in his legs. The cat was making meowing sounds he had never heard before, clinging to a picture frame hanging above the fireplace, obviously avoid getting slammed by my body flopping all over the living room. No, if you ever felt compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a one-second burst when you zap yourself. You will not let go of that thing until it is dislodged from your hand by a violent thrashing about on the floor. A three-second burst would be considered conservative. So a minute or so later, I can't be sure. As time was relapsing at the point, he collected his wits, with whittle he had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. His bent reading glasses were on the mantle of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down about 8 feet or so from where it was originally was. His triceps, right thigh, and both nipples were still twitching. His face vacuum had been shot up with Novocaine and his bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. He had no control over drooling. Apparently, he shit in his shorts, but that was too numb to know for sure, and his sense of smell was gone. He saw a faint smoke cloud above his head, which he believed came from his hair. He's still looking for his testicles, and he's offering a significant reward for their safe return. P.S. His wife can't stop laughing about his experience, loved the gift, and now regularly threatens him with it. So if you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
That is great stuff.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got another one. This one's called the Steakhouse Incident.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of embellishment that occurs on this group, and I'm aware that a small number of things are perhaps sheer fabrication. What I have a story to tell is the absolute truth, the funniest damn thing that I've ever heard happen to this guy. So a couple of weeks ago, he decided to cruise out to Ryan's for dinner. It was a Wednesday night, which means that macaroni and beef was on the hot bar. Indeed, the only night of the week that it is served. Wednesday night is also kid night at Ryan's. complete with Dizzy the Clown wandering from table to table entertaining the little bastards. It may seem that all the events about to be told have little connection to those two circumstances, but it will be clear in a moment. So they went through the line, placed their orders for all you can eat, hot bar, and sat down as far away from the front of the restaurant as possible in order to keep the density of kids down a bit. Then I started my move to the hot bar. Plate after plate of macaroni and beef were consumed that evening. I tell you, in all, four heaping plates of the pseudo-Italian ambrosia were shoved into my belly. I was seated, perhaps a bit too much, however. I really had not been feeling well all day, with a bit of gas and such. By the time I had eaten four overwhelmed plates of food, I was in real trouble. There was so much pressure on my diaphragm that I was having trouble breathing. At the same time, downward pressure was building. At first, I thought it was only gas, which could have been passed in batches right at the table with no such concern. Unfortunately, that was not to be. After a minute or so, it was clear that I was dealing with an explosive diarrhea. It's amazing how grease can make its way through your intestines far faster than food, which spawned the grease to begin with, but I digress. I got up from the table and made my way to the bathroom. Upon entering, I saw two sinks immediately inside the door, two urinals just to the right of the sinks, and two toilet stalls against the back wall. One of them was handicapped bathroom. Now, I normally would have gone to the handicapped stall since I like to stretch out a bit when I take a good shit. But in this case, the door lock was broken, and the only thing that I hate worse than my wife telling me to stop my toenails with a pair of diagonal wire cutters is having somebody walk in on me while I'm taking a shit. In retrospect, I probably should have gone to the large, unhandicapped stall, even though the door would not lock, because that's a bit of time lost in making the stall switch prove to be a bit too long under the circumstances. By the time I walked into the regular stall, the pressure on my ass was reaching biblical proportions. For those women who may be are listening to this, let me take a moment to explain the move. Men know exactly what their balls are up to at any given second, and when the time comes to empty the cachet, sequence of psychological events that occur can be stopped under any circumstances. There is a move men make that involves simultaneously approaching the toilet, beginning the body to turn positions one's ass toward the seat, hooking one's fingers into one's waistline and pulling down the pants while beginning the squat at the same time. It's a very fluid motion. And perform properly. Results are flawless. Explosion of shit at the exact same one's ass is on the toilet seat. Done properly, it even assures that the chowd is properly inserted in the front rim of the toilet in the event that the piss lets loose at the same time. It's truly a picture of coordination reveling that of a skilled ballet dancer. I was about halfway into the move when I looked down at the floor and I saw a pile of vomit that had previously been expelled by one of those little bastards attending kids' night. It was mounded up in the corner, so I did not notice it at first. Walked into the stall. Normally, I would have been bothered by such a thing, but I had eaten so much and the pressure upward was so intense that I hit a rarely experienced gag reflex. And once the reflex started, combined with the intense pressure upward caused by the bloated stomach, four plates of macaroni beef started coming up for a rematch. What happens next was so quick that the exact sequences and events are a bit fuzzy, but I will try to reconstruct them as best I can. In the moment of the impeding projectile vomiting, my attention was diverted from the goings-on at the other end. To put a freeze frame on the situation, I was half crouched down in the toilet, pants pulled down to my knees, with a load of vomit coming up my esophagus. Now, most of you know that vomiting takes precedence over shit, no matter what is about to come slamming out of your ass. It is apparently an evolutionary thing, since shitting will not kill you, but vomiting takes the precedence of mine to accomplish so that you do not aspirate any food into the bronchial tubes and perhaps choke to death. My attention was thus diverted. At the very split second, my ass exploded in what could only be described as a wake, you know, as a newspaper headline along the lines of 30,000 killed in the wake of Typhoon Fifi, or something similar. In what seemed to be most suitably measured in cubic feet, an enormous pile plug of shit consistently thick of mud with embedded pockets of greasy liquid came flying out of his ass. But remember, halfway down on the toilet at the moment, the shit wave was such force and such an angle in relation to the back curve of the toilet seat that it ricocheted off the back of the seat and slammed into the wall, angle incidentally equal to the angle at which it initially hit the toilet seat, then he sat down. Recall that when the event occurred, I was already halfway to sitting anyway and actually reached the point of no return. I've always considered myself as relatively stable gravitationally, but when you're beyond a certain point, you're going down no matter how limber you may be. Needless to say, the shit wave, though considerable force, was not so sufficient as to completely glance off the toilet seat and deposit itself on the walls. Like what you would see hitting a puddle, a high-pressure hose. Even if you throw water at a puddle, the puddle gets moved and no water is left to reform a puddle. There was a significant amount of shit remaining on about one-third of the seat rim, which I had now just collapsed upon. Now I'm back to the... While the shitting was going on, the vomit was still on its way up. By the time I had actually collapsed on the toilet, my mouth had filled up with goodly portion of the macaroni beef I had just consumed. Okay, so what does the human body instinctively do when vomiting? One bends over, so I bent over. I was still sitting on the toilet, though. Therefore, bending over resulted in my placing my head above my now slightly open legs, positioned in between my knees and waist. Also directly above my pants, which are now pulled down to a point just midway between my knees and my ankles. Oh, did I mention that I was not just wearing pants, but sweatpants with elastic on the ankles? In one mighty push, 3 pounds of macaroni beef, 2 or 3 Cokes, and a couple of big fat yeast rolls were deposited in my pants on the inside.
Actually, at the bottom,
down by my feet. In the next several seconds, there was a handful of farts, a couple of turds, and an event ended. Yet as I'm now sitting there with my pants full of vomit, my back covered in shit that I had bounced off the toilet, spattering on 3 ceramic tiled walls to a height of about 5 feet, and still had enough force to come back at me, covering the back of my shirt with deposits or droplets of liquid shit. While the thick shit was spread all over my ass in a ring curiously in the shape of a toilet seat, and there was no fucking tipping. What could I do but laugh? I must have sounded like a complete maniac to the guy who wandered into the bathroom. He actually asked if I was okay. I was laughing so hard I must have sounded like I was crying hysterically. I calmed down just enough to ask him if he would get the manager and told him to have the manager bring some toilet paper. When the manager walked in, he brought the toilet paper with him, but in no way was prepared for what happened next. I simply told him there was no way I was going to explain what was happening in the stall, but I needed several wet towels, and I needed him to ask my wife to come in to help me. I told him we were sitting, and he left. At that point, I think he was probably assuming that I had just pissed just a bit in my pants or something similarly benign. About 2 minutes later, my wife came into the bathroom, not knowing what was wrong, and with a certain amount of worry in her voice. I explained to her, still laughing and having trouble getting out words, that I had a slight accident and needed her help. Knowing that I had experienced some close calls in the past, she probably assumed that I had laid down a small turd or something and just needed to bring the car around so we could bolt immediately. Until I asked her, I'm sure she had no idea what she was about to go across the street and purchase me. New underwear, new socks, new pants, a new shirt. Oh, and by the time the considerable leakage around the elastic ankle thingy, new sneakers. And then she started to laugh herself since I was still laughing. She began to ask for an explanation as to what had just happened when I promised her that I would tell her later, but that I just needed to handle damage control for the time being. She left. The manager then came back and with half a dozen wet towels and a few dry ones. I asked him to bring a mop and a bucket, upon which he assured me that they would clean up anything that needed to be cleaned. Without giving him specific details, I explained that what was going on in the stall that night was far in excess of what I would expect anyone to deal with. With most of the folks working at Ryan's making minimum wage or just slightly above, at that moment it dawned on him exactly the gravity of the situation. The manager went in so far above the call of duty that I would be eternally grateful for his actions. He hooked up a hose. Fortunately, commercial bathrooms are constructed with tile walls and tile floors and have a drain in the middle of the room in order to make it a cleanup easy. Fortunately, I was in a commercial bathroom. He hooked up the hose to the spigot located under the sink as I began cleaning myself with the wet towels. Just as I was finishing, my wife got back with new clothes and passed them into the stall, whereupon I stuffed the previously worn clothing into the plastic bag that came from the store, handing the bag to my wife. I finished cleaning myself off and carefully put on my new clothes. Still stuck in the stall since I figured that it would be a bad taste to go out of the stall to get redressed in the event that I happened to be standing there naked and some little bastard kid walked in. At that point, I only had made a mess. I had not yet committed a felony and intended to keep it that way. When I finished getting dressed, I picked up the hose and cleaned up the entire stall, washing down the remains toward the drain in the center of the room. I put on the hose and I walked out of the bathroom. I intended to go to the manager and thank him for all he'd done, but when I walked out, Three of the management staff were there to greet me with a standing ovation. I started laughing so hard that I was going to throw up again. I managed to scurry out to the car where my wife was now waiting to pick me up by the front door. The upshot of all this is that I strongly recommend eating dinner at Ryan's Steakhouse. They have, by far, the nicest management staff of any restaurant in which I have eaten.
Well, I'm hungry.
Oh, my God.
I'll go
God.
There.
Is that a true story?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Sounds
we don't
like
have Ryan.
Relative.
Yeah, we don't have Ryan's around here. We don't have those corrals or whatever the hell they're called. But we've got what they call Country Buffet, and that's kind of on the same wavelength.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking like a Longhorn Steakhouse or whatever the hell it is.
No. It's like, you know, you've never been to the Country Buffets out here?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's what Orion's is like, the same thing, except you can order steaks. That's, you know, it's a little bit different, but it's kind of on the same wavelength because
okay.
they had a bunch of them out in Michigan and Indiana. So
yeah, out here they call them hometown buffet.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And then you got the huge ones, those Golden Corrals, but, you know, hey, what are you going to do? I'm just wondering how many people have shit in Ryan's bathroom and have been allowed to clean it all up. I can't. That just sets bad precedence. It's like, okay, management staff's good, but, you know, what the hell else is running around the place? E. coli bacteria. I can't. Ooh, bad stuff. Bad stuff. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, I'm going to take us out. We're down to the last 4 minutes. So I'm going to take us out with, let's see, how about a little Triumph?
It sounds good.
Yep.
Hey, Carolyn, I can't, thank you enough for calling us from Bermuda and giving us a little bit of enlightenment of what goes on down there, and call us anytime.
Yemen.
Yeah, Yemen.
Yeah,
very good. Have a good night, everyone.
Nice meeting you.
Cool.
And,
okay. Bye.
Have Stacy send you the links to the blog.
She did. You can check out
what's going on in the motorcycle world.
Super, I will. Thanks a lot. Have a good night, everyone. Okay.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Your friend is awesome.
She's crazy like I am, man. That's my home dog right there. She's known me the longest, you know. I mean, we're talking like 40 years with the friendship, so, you know.
Right.
It's all good.
I thank everybody, and Bill will be here Thursday. He might be a little late, but he assured me that he will be here, and I invite everybody back. And I'm going to take us out with a little Triumph right now, and I'll see all you guys Thursday.
Okay.
Awesome.
And I feel this one's appropriate because we do lay it on the line here.